Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Thursday, September the 18th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, we're being encouraged to experience what it's like for homeless people in Kent. A Deal Mum joins a celebrity-backed campaign to make bedtime stories accessible for children who are blind. And researchers in Kent have found out whether tea could be grown on the moon. But first, pictures have emerged of a cafe in the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford after it was turned into a makeshift ward. Kate joins me now with more on this story. Kate, we've got the images on the website. Can you just describe them to us?
These images show how the seating area was blocked off with screens and patients in beds had been wheeled into the space. Visitors can also be seen sitting next to loved ones while a security guard waits nearby. Now, East Kent Hospitals, which run the site, say they've had to do this because of significant demand on emergency services. They've also told us some other patients moved to different hospitals in the area.
And one relative has been in touch with us about this situation. What have they said?
That's right. They didn't want to be named, but accused the trust of leaving people to rot. She added that it feels like they've given up on elderly people and says anyone with family or friends should be concerned. She also didn't blame the staff, but said the situation can't be right.
And Kate, we've previously reported how waiting times at hospitals run by the trust remain high, haven't we?
Yes. In August, 1,311 people faced waits of at least 12 hours for a bed on a ward. That's up 116 on the same month last year and the third highest in England. Now, one big problem is what's known as bed blocked, where patients who are well enough to leave the hospital can't be discharged because suitable care packages or placements aren't available. Concern for Health in East Kent has branded the situation horrendous and has called for the Health Secretary to get involved.
And finally, we have had a full statement from the Trust, Kate.
Yes, Chief Executive Tracy Fletcher admits using the Costa space was unacceptable. She goes on to say, our priority is to see all patients as quickly and as safely as possible in our emergency department. Despite the hard work of our staff, it is sometimes necessary to care for some of our patients in the department's corridor. We are working hard to stop this. The Department of Health also said the situation is unacceptable, saying they expect the hospital to take urgent action.
Kate, thank you ever so much. You can see those pictures for yourself and maybe comment on the story as well by clicking on the Ashford pages of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and there's been disruption to services after a person was hit by a train in Raynham. The nearby station was evacuated and South Eastern were running replacement buses between Faversham and Rochester. You can get the very latest travel updates by clicking on the travel page of Kent Online or by listening to bulletins over on our sister radio station KMFM. The family of a Chatham man who died after being diagnosed with an incredibly rare form of cancer have described him as brave and handsome. Alex Abel from Horsted was found to have rhabdoid tumour and was thought to be the first diagnosed case in the UK. The 30-year-old's family are now hoping to set up a retreat in his name, offering people somewhere to stay and heal. Meantime, thousands of pounds has been raised to help a Kent family following the death of their son in Australia. 26-year-old Ed Burrows from Tunbridge Wells died in a car crash in the south of the country last Wednesday. A GoFundMe page has been set up to help his mother cover logistics. Around £7,000 has been raised so far. Seven fire engines have been sent to tackle a blaze at the former Debenhams store in Chatham. Pictures at Kent Online show the roof of the building collapsed during the fire yesterday evening. The store's been empty since 2020, with plans to convert the site into housing and a new medical unit. A hauling woman who was found slumped at the wheel of her car near Bluewater Shopping Centre has been banned from driving for more than 2.5 years. A court heard Rebecca Tobin regularly drank a bottle of vodka a day and was four times the drink drive limit when she was arrested in May. The 31-year-old from Vicarage Close admitted drink driving and was given a suspended jail term. Now, we're being encouraged to sleep rough for a night to experience exactly what it's like for the 194 people in Kent who are currently on the streets. Canterbury-based charity Porchlight are trying to raise awareness as winter and the bad weather approaches. They'll be trying to raise £20,000 when the event happens on October the 10th, which is also World Homelessness Day. I've been chatting to Hazel Eddy, who's their head of fundraising.
So the Big Sleep Out is a yearly event that we ask people to sleep out either in their back garden or a scout hut or even like their office car park. So it's a really good, fun event to kind of bring people together. There is a moment of kind of reflection because actually it's quite cold in October and it gets quite dark. And there's that moment where you kind of think, thank goodness I don't have to do this every night. And that's kind of what we're asking to kind of highlight, the issues that people who do face homelessness and who it is very real for them, to kind of fundraise for the people of Kent who are facing that.
The nights are starting to get darker earlier. We have noticed a bit more of a chill in the air. It's not that bad at the moment, but of course winter is on the way. What sort of things do people face on a daily basis if they're sleeping rough at this time of year?
There's a lot of health implications of sleeping on the street. It can cause damage to your heart. Obviously, lack of sleep is just quite debilitating in itself. There's a lot of stress, worry, anxiety for your own personal safety, as well as just trying to keep warm. So that there's a lot of health implications for people who have to sleep on the streets on a regular basis. So yeah, it's a really harsh lifestyle. And actually, we do know that it shortens people's life expectancy. So for women, that's about 43 years old. And for men, that's 45 in terms of average age of death for those living on the streets. So, yeah, it can be really harsh for those who face it.
Yeah, I mean, that's staggeringly young age, isn't it, really? When you say it out loud like that, it's incredibly young. And I should think mental health as well is impacted as well, particularly when it is really dark for a lot of the time when those nights are much longer.
Sure, it's incredibly lonely. It's an isolating place to be on the streets. So, you know, kind of depression, anxiety, a lot of poor mental health comes as a result of being on the streets. You know, it's not a easy place to be at all. So the Sleep Out itself is on the 10th of October, which is World Homelessness Day, but it's also World Mental Health Day. Mental health and homelessness are quite closely linked, and a lot of our services help support people who are homeless, but also people who are suffering with poor mental health as well. So yeah, that's a big part of it.
And you've released some data just telling us exactly how many people in Kent at the moment are sleeping on the streets. Are you okay to share that with us?
Yeah, so 194 people are currently homeless on the streets in Kent, and that was from the last data pool. And we do believe that that stat is much higher. There is a lot of hidden homelessness in Kent. You know, people who are sofa surfing, they might not have been captured when that data was conducted. So it's a real issue, and it's a growing issue. You know, there are a lot more people who are facing homelessness. So yeah, we're keen to kind of highlight the issues that those people are facing and to encourage people to help support them through fundraising.
And to find out all the details, if you want to take part, do just head to Porchlight's website. Just search Porchlight, you'll be able to get the details there.
Kent Online reports.
Residents on part of the Kent coast fear their homes could become unsellable due to concerns over rising sea levels. Documents from the Environment Agency show current defences protecting properties on Faversham Road in Seasalter won't be maintained after 2055. The local councillor says a number of houses are also being run as Airbnbs and is calling for holidaymakers to be made aware of the flooding risk. Bosses in Ashford are reviewing the support on offer for people who might struggle to pay their council tax. A reduction scheme's been enforced for working age residents on a low income since April 2020. The local authority is looking to streamline the process, and a 6-week consultation starts tomorrow. Plans have emerged for a new park and ride site in Canterbury. The City Council's draft local plan, which sets out where developments could take place, suggests building the facility on the current Thannington Recreation Ground. A similar idea was first suggested back in 2008, but rejected following a campaign by opponents. More than £6.8 million of government funding has been granted for a waterfront development in Medway. Nearly 200 homes are due to be built on the former Strood Civic Centre site. The money's coming from a scheme that helps bring brownfield land back into use. Time now to hear from a Kent councillor who's defected to a different political party. David Knight has left the Tunbridge Wells Alliance and joined the Conservatives. He says he wants to work with a party that can deliver across the whole borough and wider Weald. Well, David's been chatting on the most recent episode of the Kent Politics podcast.
I originally was independent, and then I joined the Alliance. But the way things are at the moment, I had a period of reflection over the summer holidays, I think there's two reasons, really. The first thing is because I believe the country is now in a very serious position. We've got serious challenges affecting us nationally and locally. And I don't really think the independent parties on their own can be as effective as they used to be. In so much as if we look back at last May, local elections now, people are voting at local elections on national issues. A lot of people don't realise that obviously there's only certain things that your local council or your local district council can do, but people really are voting along the national lines. So I suppose that was the first thing. And I suppose the second reason really, was obviously we've got the local government review coming along. Whereby there's been a combination of councils, obviously, and I think I need to be part of a bigger picture. So I think those are the two key reasons.
Okay. A number of weeks after you went independent, left the Alliance and went independent, you joined the Conservatives. Given the state of the Conservatives at the minute, why them, not the Lib Dems?
Well, I like a challenge. I always like a challenge. I started my own business 35 years ago, left a well-paid middle management job, crazily, went to the bank, got a loan, and there you go. So I like a challenge. But seriously, yes, I know, it's sad, isn't it? Those Conservatives lost Nadine Dorries and they got me. I'm not sure that's such a good swap, but there you go. But anyway, to answer your question directly, I think really they are the only party that will be able to make change. They are, financially, they have a plan. The main thing really is that Kimmy has had an uphill task tremendously, but she's very much looking to turn the party round now. She's looking to turn the party round into back what we used to have as a Tory party. We used to have authentic conservatism. And that is what she's trying to do. So we want freedom of speech, we want pro-enterprise, personal responsibility, living within our means. So they really were the only choice when I looked at it for me nationally and also for locally.
And you can hear that episode in full by clicking on the podcast pages of Kent Online or searching for wherever you get your pods.
Kent Online reports.
Police searching for stolen motorbikes in Tunbridge Wells have uncovered suspected drug supplies worth thousands of pounds. Officers were carrying out investigations in the Schofields Road area when they found cocaine and cannabis in a vehicle. More drugs were later seized from a nearby address. A local man's been charged and is due in court. Kent has seen a sharp rise in shoplifting and retail robbery, according to the latest figures. The number of thefts from stores has risen almost 10% in the last 12 months to more than 17,000. Police bosses say there's also been an increase in the number of people being held accountable for their crimes. Now, you're being given the chance to say what you think about plans for a huge solar farm on Romney Marsh. The companies behind it say if approved, it would be big enough to power the equivalent of around 20% of all homes in Kent. Well, a six-week consultation will run until the end of October. Events are also taking place where the plans will be on show. Next, and a mum from Deal has joined a celebrity-backed campaign to make bedtime stories accessible for blind and partially sighted children. Bedtime Donations allows parents to record themselves reading a story through an app. It's then added to an online library, which can be accessed by anyone. Alison Steadman, John Richardson and Ralph Little are among those who've taken part. Vicky Pritchard's two-year-old daughter Willow is classed as blind, and Vicky's been chatting to Kate and started by explaining the extent of Willow's vision impairment.
When she was born, it became apparent that she had some visual impairments. She is missing her left eye completely, and her right eye has had a detached retina and has no signals from eye to brain, so she is classed as blind. So obviously, with that comes a lot of new challenges as a family. So learning a whole new world for her and for us.
And I remember reading in the press release that with your other children, you know, bedtime stories were a massive part of the routine, and it's something that you've always enjoyed. How has it been different with Willow? You must have had to find other ways to have that connection with her at bedtime.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you say, I read to both my other children. I'm a big reader myself, and as a family, we're quite big readers as well. So it was something that would carry on. So we started generally in just reading normal books that any other child would read as she was little. So, you're starting that whole journey.
And can you tell me how bedtime donations, how does this fit into your journey?
Yeah, so with bedtime donations, the idea of the app having audiobooks on is brilliant for traveling, or like us when we have to do hospital stays. You're not having to carry big books around with you at all times. You can record her favorite at the moment. And the idea with the library is you can share them with other parents and with other children with or without visual impairments. And it's just more convenient to have something to hand than, as I say, having to carry bulky books around.
Does Willow have a favourite at the moment?
Yeah, at the moment it's Frozen and Disney, anything Disney at the moment. So, yeah, there's quite a few. And with the Living Paintings, some of them books that have come through, she's enjoyed the story or the being able to feel the characters, that she's then asked for that book continuously every night. So they are on repeat quite a bit.
Kent Online News.
A cafe could be opened at a country park in Faversham in a bid to increase the number of visitors. A town council is looking to take over the running of the current visitor centre at Orr Gunpowder Works. They hope to reconfigure the layout so it could be hired out as a venue as well. 3 years after a popular Meals on Wheels business stopped deliveries in Kent, a couple have set up their own service using their life savings. Naomi Baker from Snodland used to work for Appetito before it pulled the plug in 2022, affecting more than 700 vulnerable people. Well, she's now joined forces with husband John to start running Appetite UK from a base in Parkwood after saving £30,000. They're currently serving clients in North and West Kent. Researchers at the Uni of Kent have shown it could be possible to grow tea on the moon. Scientists planted saplings in soil similar to that found on the lunar surface, and we're told they flourished. Now, this is all part of a project looking at whether people could actually live in space for longer. And the saplings planted in Martian soil, however, failed to grow. Well, earlier on in the summer, I spoke to Professor Nigel Mason, who led the project and told me all about it.
We're moving to the stage of just, instead of just going out and exploring space, the idea is to be able to put people into space so that we can exploit space, either on space stations or to build lunar bases. And of course, as soon as you start thinking about people being there to be able to build, make new drugs, build new materials, etc., you have to think about what they're going to eat. And so there is a new field called space agriculture, which is the idea of what foods you can grow in space, because it's expensive to take things up there. And it's also well known that if people are isolated for long periods of time, 6 months, there's a lot of mental health, good positive vibes by growing your own food.
It sounds a bit like, I don't know if you've seen the movie The Martian, where he gets stranded on Mars and tries to grow some potatoes. I mean, how close is that to actual reality?
Well, we're not growing potatoes. They're a little bit bigger. We already have a Chinese landing on the moon, and they did show that you could germinate seeds on the moon in the soil. But yes, there are some overlaps because, of course, since you start thinking about growing things, you have to think about fertilizer. And yeah, you can guess what might be freely available from the astronauts.
And tell us, what on earth is the soil like on the moon, or indeed in Mars, and how much of it have we got, and how are you recreating it back here?
They're basically basaltic materials, and we know what they're made of, and so we can make analogues of that. In fact, interestingly, one of the best places for getting that is also from Greenland, which has also been in the news recently. But the soil itself is well known geologically. It's a basaltic soil, which we can use, as I say. So we know what it is. And the Martian soils, they're a bit more complicated, but again, we have good mimics of that.
And finally, a new survey has ranked Tunbridge Wells as one of the best places to live in the UK. It came 10th, according to stats published by the International Longevity Centre. The list was made by comparing things such as income, house prices and pollution.
Kent Online Sports.
Kent's Dina Usher-Smith is back in action at the World Athletics Championships today. The 29-year-old from Bromley goes in the semi-finals of the 200 metres in Tokyo. She won her heat yesterday in the fifth fastest time overall. Meantime, Medway's Emily Newnham has narrowly missed out on a place in the final of the 400-metre hurdles at her first ever World Championships. She reached the semi-finals in Tokyo before finishing sixth. The 21-year-old won European under-23 gold earlier in the season and a silver in the Navuna UK Championships. On to cricket, and it's the final day of Kent's penultimate county championship match of the season against Leicestershire. No play was possible in Leicester yesterday because of rain. Kent are due to resume on 17 without loss after the home side declared on 459 for 7 in their first innings. And finally, in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu is due to play in the second round of the Korea Open later. She's taking on Czech player Barbora Krejčíková after beating Romania's Jacqueline Christian in straight sets yesterday. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on all of the socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. Don't forget, if you're on the website today, you can check out the very latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.